Of course, this is a fairly well-known concept, a great miracle that happened there from Hanukkah. It's actually the initials of each of those words are on the dreidel that is used during the Hanukkah parties and so forth, which says Nes Gadol Hayasham, which means a great miracle happened there, talking about the miracle of Hanukkah, which we'll talk about a little bit briefly. But I want to talk about, to begin with, is about why miracles are important in the first place. And they're important because this is how God shows that he's interested, invested, and involved in personal lives. That's why they're important. And miracles themselves is God's acting to deliver, restore, heal, and save his people. That's what miracles are. It's God breaking in to our daily lives at sometimes completely unexpected times and showing himself that he's real and that he loves us and he wants to do something for us and to change us and so on. And there's numerous examples in the scripture of miracles, beginning with the creation, of course, which itself is a miracle. The opening of the Red Sea, Elijah calling down fire, Daniel being saved in the lion's den. And then, of course, it's best exemplified in the life of Yeshua, who, of course, was born as the result of a miracle, where God explodes himself onto the earth through the miracle birth. And then all the multiple healings and deliverances that lead ultimately to the final miracle of Yeshua's life, which is the resurrection. And so you can see this consistently in the scriptures, that there's many examples of miracles and so on. But the reality in the scriptures and in life is that miracles of a significant proportion are infrequent in life and in the scriptures. Because when you look at, when you read the Bible, yes, there are miracles, but most of people's lives, there are no miracles. There's just daily life. That's the way it usually goes. And then God will suddenly break in. That's the reality. And in fact, in the scriptures themselves, among biblical characters, there are lots of sicknesses, there's premature death, there's tragedies that affect these individuals who are clearly called of the Lord. And so it sometimes becomes confusing to those of us who follow the Lord as to why these things are happening when we believe in a miraculous God. You see, only in the creation was there no tragic events, where everything that God did was perfect and so on. And we look forward to the day when it's going to be similar, where every tear will be wiped away and so forth. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we pray towards and so on. But the process in between the creation to the consummation is when the kingdom of God is fully established on earth and Yeshua rules and reigns in Jerusalem. That's known as the consummation. From that process, from creation to consummation, can be ugly. In fact, like it's often said, and many of you have heard the adage, that it's that you would want to avoid two processes to watch in life. One is the making of sausage, right? And the other is the making of laws, as you may have heard it. Now, I don't know so much about sausage because I don't eat sausage. But I can tell you about making of laws because I was involved in it, is that it can get ugly, okay? It can get really ugly. And I find it fascinating to watch, but for those who don't understand the process, it can be pretty discouraging and so on. Now, so in between these two periods, we see the ups and downs of lives. Now, the one exception that God has ordained on this earth is the Shabbat. Because on the Shabbat, that's where we remember the creation, when everything was perfect and in order. That's when we look toward the day that the Lord is going to establish his kingdom on earth. And that happens to be the day that Yeshua conducted most of his healings. Isn't that interesting? Because the Shabbat is supposed to portend to the day when the fullness of God will be here on this earth. That's part of the reason that we do a prayer for healing on the Shabbat even here, because we expect that God is going to break through on this particular day and impact lives. And that's not to say that he's not around the rest of the week. Of course he is. But the point is that this is the day that's set aside to look toward that day that the Lord is coming in his final kingdom. The Lord is invested in humankind. He often breaks in and shows himself in real ways. Sometimes more often than not, but often it is unexplainable, it's unexpected, sometimes it's even unwanted as when the Lord breaks in. And Hanukkah happens to be one of those times. It happens to be one of the times that the Lord breaks in an unexpected way. We want to examine it briefly today and look at, and because it's instructive to us in many ways. Let's look at it. Let's set the stage for Hanukkah, okay? Many of you know the story, some don't. Let's quickly go over it. The Jews returned from Babylon after being exiled there in the late 500s. In the early 500s, they come back to Israel, early 500s BCE. They're under Persian rule for about 200 years, and during that time, it's a time of peace in the land of Israel. It's a time of generally religious fervor and so on, but they had a fairly peaceful time. And then in the early 300s, the Greeks come, conquer the land of Israel and throughout the Middle East and much of the Near East and so on, and they conquer the world, that part of the world, with a new vision, and it's called, the vision is called Hellenism, which is a new philosophy. It's a worldview. And it very much clashes with the Jewish worldview or the Jewish culture. Let me give you some examples. Of course, the Jewish culture believes in one God. The Greeks believed in many gods. The Jews focused their life on the Lord. The Greeks focused their lives on human achievement. The Hebrews focused on things that were concrete, like rain and the seasons and so forth. The Greeks focused on things that were abstract. The Hebrews found truth that was to be revealed from the Lord supernaturally. But according to the Greeks, truth is revealed by the reasoning of the mind. These are some of the differences between the cultures that was clashing at the time. And by the late 100s BCE, Israel was almost a fully Hellenized country. There was a new Greek king that was put into place. His goal was to cement Hellenism throughout the land of Israel and throughout the all of the Middle East and so on, and to replace the God of Israel with the Greek gods. That was his primary purpose, because he believed that Hellenism was the superior culture and philosophy of the day. There was, in one day, in a small town called Modin, which is somewhere between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, today it's becoming a major metropolis that has actually been, that Ariel Sharon has put a lot of effort and money into building this city. It's a very modern city, but back then it was just a small little town in the wilderness. And one day, a bunch of Greek soldiers persuade some Jewish priests to sacrifice a pig to the Greek idols. And then one guy, and his name was Mattathias, he finally says, "Enough is enough." And I want everybody to say that with me. Say, "Enough is enough." One man said, "That's it." He slew those priests who had sacrificed that stuff, slew the Greek soldiers. From there came the Hanukkah revolt, known as the Maccabean revolt, and it ends up in the independence of the nation of Israel from that one thing. It was a miracle. It was one man who took one act and created a multiplier effect that spread throughout society and overthrew the existing order at the time. It's very similar to David. King David, who wasn't a king at this time, was a young man. He was a teenager. And he happens to be looking for his brothers one day. And he finds them in this valley, overlooking this valley. And there's this huge man who's cursing Israel and cursing the Lord and so forth. The leader of the Philistines, Goliath. And David gets incensed by this attitude of how can somebody take this stand against God? And this is what he says. You know, the paraphrase, he says, "Enough is enough," right? And this is what he literally says. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He slings a stone, the giant is dead, and the enemies are routed." That's what happens. One man, one act changes all of history at that point in time. Someone who takes a stand for the Lord. That's what this is all about. That's what begins the miracle often. There was a woman at the time of Yeshua who was bleeding. She had a constant bleeding problem for years and years and years. She went to many doctors. There's maybe people in here that are in the same place. Went to many doctors. They had a lot of solutions, none of which worked. She was worse off than when she started. And finally, she saw Yeshua walking through the crowd one day. And there was a huge crowd she couldn't get through. She was weak from a loss of blood. But she just said, "Enough is enough." She pushed her way through the crowd, grabbed the tzitzit of the garment that Yeshua was wearing at the time, and by her faith, she was healed just like that, because she said, "Enough is enough," and her life was changed. That was a miracle. You see, each case, the person was fed up, takes a stand for the Lord, like Jacob who was wrestling with the angel, wouldn't give up, and a miracle happens there. That's the beginning of this story. The Hanukkah revolt itself was a miracle in the fact that it also grew out of nothing. There was no plan. There was no army. There was no strategy. A man simply stood for the Lord and tapped into the void of the time, of the period, and the concerns that many people had. And as a consequence, people rose up and responded and fought for the Lord and so forth. It's very similar to the return of the Jewish people to the modern state of Israel today. Very similar. There was one man who was a reporter in France, and he saw anti-Semitism in modern France, as if things really changed, right? And he came up with a wild plan to bring the Jews back to the land of Israel. He thought, everybody in the world thought he was a complete kook. This man's name is Theodor Herzl. He came out of nowhere. There was no plan. He had no plan in the beginning. He wasn't even a godly man, but God used him to accomplish his purposes, to fulfill the longing of the prophets, and to usher in the end of the age. Creation itself is an example where God himself creates something out of nothing. That's the whole point. Because miracles are often unplanned events. They happen, and then things spiral out from those miracles. God breaks in and then changes the direction of humankind when a miracle breaks in. It's often a shock to the status quo. That's what a miracle often brings about. Even Yeshua, he came from nowhere, right? He was raised in Galilee, which was the area of the rednecks, okay, and the boonies. That's where Yeshua was from. 30 years, he did nothing. And then all of a sudden, one day, he happens to show up at John's immersion, and all of the world has changed ever since. He came out of nothing. That's the way miracles work. The Hanukkah revolt was a miracle in that it also overthrew a greater power. This is what Paul has to say about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says this: God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. The Lord is always looking for this, and the story of the Scriptures is that the Lord, God, is investing in the down and out. He's transforming the weak, and he's overthrowing the powerful. That's what often happens in the Scriptures. Examples: the Exodus of Egypt, Gideon's army of 300 men defeating thousands of people, Yeshua's disciples, fishermen, tax gatherers, and farmers changing the whole world. That's the way it is. It is the fact that God is using the small and the weak to overthrow the strong. It's to show the power of God. The Hanukkah revolt is very similar. A few thousand ragtag volunteers defeat larger and larger Greek divisions of armies because the leaders themselves knew it was the Lord. And even in this present day, we see it very similar. Israel's War of Independence. What do we have there? A partially armed militia in 1948 against 5 standing Arab armies. How could they win? But they did. It was because it was a miracle. It was the Lord. I just shared this story a few weeks ago in that briefing that I gave when I heard from General Kahalani, who was the hero of the 1973 Yom Kippur War, as he described it himself on the Golan Heights when he was with the battalion commander of 10 Israeli tanks facing 130 modern Syrian tanks. And at the end of the day, the 10 tanks stood and the Syrians were defeated. It's a miracle. You see? It's a miracle. God does the same thing today as he did back then. The Hanukkah revolt is a miracle in that it brought independence to Israel for the first time in 400 years and lasted for 100 years itself. They were nobodies between major empires. And at first, the Maccabees, the Mattathias and Judah and the sons and brothers, they were faithful people. These were priests. They instituted the following of the Lord and the practicing of God's laws in a land that had become completely secular. We can't imagine it, folks. But the land of Israel had become a completely secular nation under Greek rule. And these folks, their goal was to restore the teaching of the Torah in God's ways, get rid of all the Greek idols and so forth. And as a consequence of that, God's favor falls upon the land. And the miracles themselves lead to personal rededication in the lives of the Israelis, because that's what miracles often do. When we see a miracle happen to us, it often causes us to reflect and personally rededicate ourselves back to the Lord. And it also increases our recognition that we have a greater responsibility before God, because we ask the question, why has this happened to me? What is the significance of this? Why is God blessing me in this way? He must have something important for me to do. That's what miracles often do. And why did the Lord do what he did to the Jewish people back in the second century for the Hanukkah revolt? He was to lead to Yeshua's return, because Yeshua needed to come to a group of people who were calling for him, who were looking for him, not some secularized, wiped out group, which they had become at that time. You know what? The American independence is very similar to what happened even in the scriptures. Very interesting. Defeated a great empire at that time, the British, established, of course, the United States. And in the Constitutional Convention, I remember reading a book a number of years ago that was called The Miracle at Philadelphia. Isn't that interesting? Because of the miracle of what happened at the Constitutional Convention. There have been numerous books that have been just written in the last couple of years examining this period. The great books on John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, the Founding Brothers, and so forth. They all describe this very unusual period. Why? Why did it happen? Because God had a purpose. He had a purpose for this nation. And the United States is more responsible for good in this world historically than any other nation has ever done. We don't realize this because often we're focused upon the evil and the wickedness of society. But think about what the U.S. has done. Just in the last 50 years, it's defeated fascism. It's defeated communism. It's now in the process of defeating terrorism. It supports freedom all over the world. It supports Israel. It sends out more missionaries than any other country in the world by far. This is the kinds of things, and it's the example to the world. Why? It's because it was a miracle that happened in Philadelphia and in the American Revolution, and the Lord blessed this country, and as a consequence, the Lord is using it and so on. Israel's modern society, modern existence as a nation, and modern independence is very much the same. It's a miracle that happened. The prophets foretold it coming. It came out of the most destructive act of Jewish history, known as the Holocaust, that we're familiar with. And it's a miracle that this country not only even came into existence, but that it survives and flourishes to this day. Just consider these following facts. It's been through 5 to 6 wars in the last 50 years. It has the only democracy in that area of the world. It's absorbed immigration, 600% of its population only 50 years ago. And yet it has become the most developed nation in the Middle East, one of the most developed in the world, one of the strongest armies, greatest industries. It's exporting things all over the world. What is the cause? It's a miracle. It shows that a miracle happened there in the year 164 BCE, and a miracle is happening there now. We're witnesses to it, and we're participating in that miracle as well. And then finally, the last miracle that I'm going to mention is the miracle of the oil, right? The miracle of the oil. They went in to the temple. There was no oil except for one day. We all know the story. It miraculously lasted for 8 days so to keep the eternal flame going and so forth. And then, behold, for those of you that have been here, and I'm sure many of you have heard my story, but I just want to share it again because it happened at Hanukkah 13 years ago on this date when we were here. We moved into this building. There was an oil, huge oil burner in the basement, 4 huge oil tanks that were supposed to run the burner, and we weren't even sure if we could get the heat going. The first service that we have in 1990 in this building is Hanukkah. We ordered in 150 gallons of oil to be able to get the thing going, and during the week we were able to get it going. And then one of the leaders goes downstairs, and he's looking over the system, and he notices the gauge on the tanks, and it shows that the oil tanks are full. Now those oil tanks hold a total of 1,000 gallons of oil. And so he calls me up. He's a little shocked. I mean, he actually opened up the gauge, stuck a stick in. It was full. They were all full. All 4 tanks were full. She's shocked. He calls me up during the day, while he was here, and he says, something really strange has happened here. Jamie, these oil tanks are full. I said to him, well, didn't you check them last week? He said, I thought I checked them. And he says, I remember them being empty. And then I said, well, maybe we got in a lot more oil than you ordered. And he said, no, I only ordered in 150 gallons of oil, and there's now 1,000 gallons of oil in the tanks, and maybe it's a miracle. And so I said, well, we got to share it with the congregation. So the next service we're here, we share it with everybody, the whole story of everything that happened. And of course, everybody's all excited. I didn't really know what happened, to be honest. I still didn't really know. And then some guy, a guy who was fairly new to the congregation, wasn't even a believer. He was a chemist, a scientist, comes up to me after the service. He looks white as a ghost. I say to him, what's wrong? He said, I checked those tanks myself last week. They were bone dry. And I remember him saying, it's a miracle. You see, it was on Hanukkah. It was a miracle. Because a miracle has happened here. It happened there. That's what it is. Why? Why does it happen? Because God is interested, He's invested, and He's involved here. And He's involved with you. He's invested in your life, He's interested in your life, and He wants to be involved in your life. That's the purpose for us to be here. I want to close with this note. This is an email that I just got, and I think you'll find it encouraging. It shows why we're here and shows what we're all about. And I'm just going to read this little letter. It's from a messianic leader out in California. This is what he has to say. He says, I wanted to let you know about something interesting that happened here a couple of weeks ago. He says, I am sure that you are familiar with Herschel Shanks. He is a top archaeological scholar associated with the Biblical Archaeology Review magazine, and he is editor of Moment magazine. Moment magazine is one of the mainstream Jewish magazines, one of the largest Jewish magazines in the world. In other words, I'm reading now from him. In other words, he is a mocker in the Jewish world. He was speaking at the Biblical Archaeology Review conference here in Los Angeles, and the subject of Messianic Judaism came up. He said that in Israel, there was a solidarity group of Messianic Jews who came last summer and had tremendous exposure within Israeli society. He said that it had a powerful impact on Israelis, and since that time, many Israelis have become Messianic Jews. In fact, he said, Messianic Judaism is becoming viewed in Israel as another branch of Judaism. Who's he talking about, folks? It's us! It was us. We were the ones who were there. It was our national conference. That's what he's talking about. You see, a miracle happened there. And a miracle wants to happen here, too. And I just want to pray for you for miracles. I can't guarantee you anything. But God knows when you need a miracle. God knows it. And he wants to do it for you, just like he's done it throughout history, just like he did it in the Bible, you know, just like he's done it in some of our lives at different times. He wants to do one. We never know when, but when we need it, and when we take the stand and say, enough is enough, and I've got to have a miracle. Because miracles only happen when they have to happen, right? They don't happen just because they're happenstance. They only happen when they have to happen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just lift up everybody in this room today, Lord God. We just ask in the name of Yeshua, Lord, as we dedicate ourselves on the Feast of Dedication, Lord, the first day of the Feast of Dedication, we dedicate ourselves to you, Lord, and we say enough is enough, Lord. We need to see miracles in our lives, Lord. We need to see families restored, bodies healed, Lord God, people delivered and saved, Lord God. Father, we need to see jobs. We need to see things turned around in our lives, Lord. We just need to see things happen. And Lord, we say enough is enough. We want to take a stand like so many have taken a stand in the past and have a real impact, Lord, and see you perform a miracle because you want to be interested, and involved in our lives, Lord. And we receive that now in Yeshua's precious name, O God. Amen and amen.